Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, May 12th. And we're glad you're tuned in and listening today over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. Glad to be able to bring you these messages. Well, this is Wednesday. Love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us tonight for our regular midweek prayer service at 7 p.m. tonight at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Love to have you come and be with us for that service. Amen. Brother Doug Bale is going to be preaching for us tonight, and hope you'll come and be part of that as well. If you will, do pray for Brother and Sister Hall. I've been mentioning that Brother Hall's been hospitalized in the hospital there in Springfield, Missouri. Yesterday they went in to put in a pacemaker. He's having a severely erratic heart rate, and so they were going to put in that pacemaker, and in the process, they punctured a lung. And so he needs your prayers as he's battling with that and trying to recover. They did get the pacemaker in. He is recovering. So if you will, keep Brother Hall in your prayers at this time. And before we go to the message, I've got a song queued up here by the Patton sisters. These are the daughters of Frank and Wendy Patton. Brother Frank Patton is a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and his wife Wendy grew up in the church I pastored there in North Carolina. And I love this family of these three girls. They're grown now. Matter of fact, the oldest is getting ready to get married, and then the next oldest getting ready to graduate high school, and the youngest following right in their tracks. But here they are singing a good song entitled Wall of Prayer. They make their home from Rural Hall, North Carolina, and so hope you'll enjoy this song. The Patton sisters singing Wall of Prayer, and then the message from the Word of God. All right, it is time to look into the scripture again. We are looking in Matthew chapter number 7, and we are dealing with verses 13 and 14 for today's broadcast. On yesterday, we completed the message that was dealing with verse number 12. We called that our Lord's counsel on principle. Earlier, we talked about our Lord's counsel on prayer. Now today, we're going to begin looking at verses 13 and 14. And we're calling this Christ's counsel about paths. And he's talking about which path are you on. Hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 is our text as we're studying this Sermon on the Mount. We've gotten to this very widely known verses. The Bible says our Lord's words in verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm amazed at, the more I study this Sermon on the Mount, that our Lord was able to say so much with so few words. Now this was it's a long sermon, three chapters, but there's little segments of this sermon that are so succinct, so profoundly simple. And somebody said, and simply profound, just nuggets that's said in just a few words. These two sentences are one of those nuggets. Our Lord talks about two ways here. A universal truth that there's only two paths of life. And actually, only one path of life. One's a path of death. There's only two paths. You're either on the path of life or you're on the path of death. And so our statement, as we've been looking at these verses, chapter 6 and 7, we've been calling it Christ's counsel on these different things. And I'm using an idea that I got from a commentator that he mentions these different counsels. And this is the counsel on paths. Which path are you on? We understand that connotation in our life. We understand that in our way of thinking, that the way our mind works is that we actually visualize things. We can recognize, we think in words, but really in word pictures, I guess is a good way to say that. Some people more than others. But when somebody paints you a mental picture, it's like you can see that. And so that's what our Lord has done. Our Lord's saying that there's two paths, and it looks to me like He's showing somebody as if they're at the crossroads. They've got to choose which way they're going. And so our Lord gives the advice right off the bat, you need to get off the road you're on. You need to enter the straight gate. Amen. You got to enter, not that you're on it, because you're not on it yet. That's what he's saying to this crowd that he's preaching to. You've got to enter. That enter means you're not there yet. So he gives them that connotation, enter into the, or enter the straight gate. Amen. And so this section that we're dealing with, this is actually the conclusion of the sermon from here on out. This is, I call it the introduction to the conclusion, these two verses. As our Lord's drawing all of his teachings and all of his words together, and he's bringing it to a point, and that point is there's two ways. He's going to end this chapter talking about two buildings, building on sand and building on the stone. The building, and they're not ways, they're words. It's on the words of Christ, amen, that he's going to talk to us about in that. So he's introducing to us in this Sermon on the Mount with this sermon about the kingdom. He's introducing, I believe, the first steps of decision, the first steps of determination that's going to be required if we're going to live in Christ's kingdom. Now, it is a continuation and a proper conclusion to all the former teachings that's going on in chapters 5 and 6. I'm not going to run back over that. But I'll just say, laying this out real simply, not everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody. The world would like to think everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody lives for Christ. Not every road leads to everlasting life. Amen. Amen. That's the simply profound statement that Christ is making here in these verses. Not everybody's going. Not every road is going that way. Now, previously in this Sermon on the Mount, he has laid down the characteristics that are required of those that are in his kingdom. Again, not deeds, not what we have to do, but what we are, what we become. We've got to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. He has preached about the commands laid upon them. Amen. And he talks about the different things that are involved. He deals with the rules by which our lives must be lived if we're going to live in accordance to his kingdom. And the teachings of our Lord was in direct variance with the religious crowd that was around him. He's preaching, he's got his disciples here on this mount, but he's dealing with the scribes and Pharisees as they're in the fringe, I believe in the crowd that gathers around. He's dealing with them and speaking to them as well as to his own disciples. Now, by the way, there's not different requirements made. He's going to require the same thing of the Pharisees that he requires of his disciples. He's going to require the same thing of his disciples that he's going to require of the Pharisees. But the teaching, the religious teaching of that day was at direct variance to what our Lord was saying. The popular views of all those that were listening. Listen, think about this. These people he's preaching to here, there's not one Gentile in this congregation on this Sermon on the Mount. These are all Jews. These are all, quote unquote, children of Abraham. These are all children of the promise. They think they're all going into the kingdom. Our Lord says, not everybody. Not everybody is going into the kingdom. Amen. They thought that simply being the natural descendants of Abraham made them candidates for the kingdom of God. They thought that bearing in their body the mark of the covenant, the circumcision that was done to the Jews, the males on the eighth day, they thought that just bearing in their body, in their flesh, that mark of the covenant would be enough to get them in. Amen. Our Lord is telling them, not everybody's going in. You'd be surprised how many modern day people believe the same thing. Preacher, I'm a Christian because I was born in America. Makes me a Christian. This is a Christian nation. Or maybe England or somewhere in Europe that they think, well, you know, I've got a Christian heritage, and so that makes me a Christian. Our Lord said, not everybody. Preacher, I've got these marks. I've been baptized. My name's on the church roll. I've got all these marks that I bear in my body of my dedication to religion. So surely that means that I'm going in. Our Lord was stringent on this, that You had to be more than a child of Abraham's flesh. You had to be a child of Abraham's faith. And amen. Turn to Romans chapter number 4. I'll show you that in the scripture. Romans chapter number 4. And there's a lot of verses we could read and a lot of things we could deal with. But I'm going to try to get through this morning in a timely manner. But show you, he's Paul writing to the Romans. And Paul, being a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he said, he understood what they thought and how that they reacted. In Romans chapter number 4, verse number 11, I'll pick up and read down through verse number 16. All right, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. He already had faith, so the circumcision didn't give him faith. That's the point he's getting to. Which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and that the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, Paul's laying it out real plain. It was not the keeping of the law. It was not the doing of the law, the deeds of the law, the doctrines of the law. It was the faith that brought that forth. All right, verse number 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. By the way, that what he's saying there, the law puts you under the judgment. The law lets you recognize, it was not given to for you to be made perfect through the keeping of the law. The law was to prove you're not perfect. You're not on this way. That's why you need to enter into the straight gate that he's talking about. And that's what the law was there for, to show you that you're in transgression. All right. Verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Not just talking about the father of the Jews, but the father of the faith. That's what he's dealing with. The faith of Father Abraham. Now turn to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. It's not the flesh of Abraham that profits us. It is the faith of Abraham that profits us that believe. Amen. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 29. Again, Paul writing to the Galatian church, and they're dealing with the works of the law, works of the flesh. He's showing them again that it is of faith. Look at verse 29. Last verse of chapter 3. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that is not teaching, as some heretics teach, that the church has replaced Israel. It is not teaching that the church has replaced God's chosen people in the world, the nation. Israel is a nation of people, and they have an earthly promise. Amen. This is talking about the spiritual promise. We're the spiritual children of God. Amen. We're the spiritual children. And so it's not teaching that Christians have replaced Israel as God's chosen people with the promises of Canaan land. And all those promises are to the nation of Israel. I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. It's amazing to me. I know that many of the Protestants picked up on that. And of course, it came from the Catholic Church where it started. Catholics were anti-Semitic. By the way, the Pope in World War II, the Pope said that Hitler was doing the work of God in killing Jews. No, Hitler wasn't doing the work of God. And the Pope's not a man of God. Amen. And I'm not just fighting Catholics, but I'm telling you it's false doctrine. But then some of the Protestants came out, same anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic thought process. And it's amazing how they said, we get all the promises of Israel, but if there's any curses to Israel, they still belong to Israel. They want to put all the law on the Jews and all the curses on the Jews and all the commandments on the Jews, but we get all the blessings. Well, that'd be a pretty good deal, wouldn't it? But it don't work that way. Amen. And Paul said it over and over again in Rome. He said, has God set aside his people? He has for a season. Amen. For a time they're blinded, but he's coming back to his people. Amen. And Israel is going to be more and more in the news and more in the limelight of God's promises as the days go drawing closer to the end. Amen. But anyway, this, he's talking here about a spiritual kingdom. The spiritual kingdom of Christ was never meant to have been inherited by the heritage of the flesh. It was never meant to have been entered into because you were of one particular family, but it's because you are of the faith. Again, it's not the flesh and it's not the family. It's the faith that gets you in Christ's kingdom. Amen. Now, when you compare the misconceptions of the natural-minded Jews with those carnal-minded religionists down through the ages up to this time, you'll see many similarities. Amen. I wrote some of these down. In Christ's day, the Jews were almost completely ignorant of the high and searching requirements of God's holiness. They thought just being in the family of Abraham was good enough. Didn't care about pleasing God. Wasn't too interested in obeying God. And that same is true today. They sought to be accepted by God based upon some characteristic of their flesh or of their family rather than seeing that God's holy justice must be satisfied. Amen. By the way, that's why Christ came. We could never satisfy the law's demands. We could never satisfy the justice of God. But Christ in his flesh did all those things. Amen. That's why Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his, Christ's, soul. As he made his soul an offering before God, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ satisfied the law's requirements. The Jews prided themselves on being the children of Abraham. And so many today pride themselves of being Christians simply because they're born, quote, into a Christian country. Some people actually think that they'll be admitted into heaven because of the family or the nation they were born into, never considering the necessity of a new birth. Amen. The Jews imagined that the religious rite of circumcision secured them in the favor of God. And so many today think that the religious rite of sprinkling a few drops of water on an infant's head gives them that access into heaven. Or perhaps trusting a prayer that has been repeated. Or perhaps signing a card or a trip to the altar and a profession that they've made. They're trusting in that, the deeds of the flesh, rather than the faith that they have called on God and sought after God and been transformed by the Holy Spirit in their heart. Amen. New birth. Amen. The misconception most prominent among men down through the ages seems to be that flesh and blood might inherit the kingdom of God by the deeds of the flesh, rather than accepting the fact that the natural man must be put to death and there must be a new birth producing a new man in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our Lord's dealing with that in this text, all right? He says in verse number 13 again, enter ye in at the straight gate. Again, if you're, when somebody knocks on your door, you say, come in. You're saying, enter, right? You're saying, enter, come in. You don't say that to people that are already in there. You say that to people that are on the outside. And so Christ is informing them. That's the whole purpose of the law and the purpose of the gospel is to inform men and women, boys and girls, that they are on the outside of God's grace and they must come in order to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. And so he goes on to make the statement at the end of that, verse number 14, and few there be that find it. I can't imagine that he's rejoicing in that. That no doubt breaks his heart to have to say few there be that find it. When he's loved the world, when he's going to shed his blood, taste death for every man, when he's going to, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should have life, should come to repentance. It's God's not just rejoicing in the fact that only a few is getting saved. It had to break his heart, but he's not going to hide the truth from those that are listening. Amen. He's saying there's few. Further support that the doctrine of Christ is contrary to the prevalent modern religion. I ask the question, who really believes that? Who really believes that only a few is going to be saved? I doubt they believe that at the funeral home. I mean, they sit in funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral, and everybody they know, doesn't matter how they lived or how they died, they hear that they went to heaven. Amen. Somebody said more lies told in a funeral home parlor than anywhere else except Washington, D.C. Maybe right. Amen. Doesn't matter how crooked they lived. Doesn't matter how much they lied, how wicked they lived. The average funeral, everybody says they're better off. Not if they died lost or not. They say they're resting in the arms of Jesus. Not necessarily.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. And with this being Wednesday, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us tonight for our regular midweek prayer service. Service time at the Island Ford Baptist Church is at 7 p.m. each Wednesday night, and we are located at 1415 Island Ford Road. Now, tonight we have the special privilege of having Pastor Doug Bell. He pastors the Sooner Rose Baptist Church from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And he's going to be with us tonight preaching. And so hope you'll make plans to be with us. Again, that's at 7 p.m. tonight at the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day. And God bless you.